This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we're going to be talking about Independence Day, the 4th of July, its significance. And we have with us a very, very special guest. Joe Larson is going to be with us. But we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call if you have a comment on what Independence Day means to you. But, you know, it was during the midst of the Civil War when Abraham Lincoln mounted the podium at the battlefield of Gettysburg and said those immortal words that we characterize as the Gettysburg Address 67 years ago. Our forefathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, I'm sure every literate person in the audience has heard that, but have you ever stopped and thought what 67 years ago referred to? What was he talking about? Well, he was talking about 1776, 67 years ago, when our forefathers brought forth in this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men were created equal. Now, of course, you only have to go back then and read the opening paragraph, the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, where we find these words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." So it was 67 years later that Gettysburg referred back to our founding document, because, of course, everybody who's ever studied America understands the importance of the Declaration of Independence as far as our society is concerned. Joe, it's so good to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Stan. Pleasure to be here on such a great day.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about, tell our listeners about yourself and about your effort to educate people about the Christian heritage of this nation.
Well, I'm chairman of a group called Restoring America, and we believe that America is losing her way today because we've lost our heritage. Our children no longer understand where we came from, anything about the men that formed this country. They've been taken out of the textbooks in our schools and our colleges. We don't teach about our Christian nation's heritage and even in our churches. And when you were talking about today, when you people feeling, what do they feel about today? Well, back, Samuel Adams, the father of the American Revolution, as he sat down and signed the Declaration of Independence, he said this: "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. Therefore, from the rising to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come." These were the words that the father of our revolution said as he signed the Declaration of Independence. We brought forth for the first time in history a nation where God and government were together. And if we look at our history carefully, we'll see that our first three presidents, we'll see that the father of the revolution, the father of the Constitution, the man we call the father of the Bill of Rights, Daniel Webster, the defender of the Constitution, I can go down the list of the most famous men in America. They all called us a Christian nation. They all told us that God was a part of our nation, that he was our king. We had thrown out Caesar. We had gotten rid of a king. We had only one king, and that was Jesus. And that this nation was a nation truly under God, built on the principles right out of the Holy Bible. And I'm talking all the most famous founding Americans, if you go down and look at the words of each and every one of them, they basically all say the same thing. So it's hard to imagine that the men, if this were the words out of their mouth, that we could have this secular nation today where we can no longer pray in school, where any man that says he's a Christian running for office is scorned, is ridiculed. It just makes no sense. The only answer is we've lost our heritage, and it's up to some of us to go out and teach America the truth and regain our Christian heritage.
Well, I agree with you totally, and right now there's a young man named Ted calling us from Ashland, Kentucky. He keeps calling in, and we keep losing him. Ted, if you're out there, please call in again, and we'll try to get you right on. But, you know, Joe, the thing that most people do not want to address, they don't want to face, is the fact that we did not necessarily lose our Christian heritage. It was stolen from us by wicked men in the Supreme Court who do not represent the attitude of most Americans, who certainly do not represent what the founding fathers wanted. They had their own agenda. Right now,
right.
Let's see if we can get Ted on here before we lose him again. Ted's calling from Ashland, Kentucky. Hi, Ted. How are you doing?
Hi. I wanted to mention something that I'm sure your guest knows already. And that is that the Battle of Lexington and Concord in 1775 was fought over gun confiscation. General Gage came to Boston in 1774, and they announced that, turn in your arms and we'll make them available in the armory for target shooting and hunting anytime you want. And after they took up all the guns in Boston, they told the Bostonians, you can't have your guns back, whether you're target shooting or whatever you want.
Now, well, that's just what they did in the state of New York here a few years ago when they promised them if they just register their weapons, why, they would never take them away. And that's what they're doing all across America. But you must understand that the same forces are at work today that were at work at the time of the American Revolution. Do you know what the date was in 1775 when the Redcoats marched on Lexington?
No, I don't know the date.
Well, let me tell you, because it's very important. It's April 19th. It's the same day that the feds burned out the people and killed the people at Waco. It's the same day, 2 years later, when Timothy McVeigh and a group of other people, others unknown, bombed the Murrah Building. That's a very, very famous date. It was also the date that Richard Snell, in 1995, was about to be executed on April 19th, and he said to the warden and the governor of the state where he was being executed, something important is going to happen today. You just wait and see. So he had advanced knowledge. The feds had advanced knowledge. It was just that the kids they left there in the Murrah Building did not have advanced knowledge. Anything else you want to say, Ted?
Oh, the only thing I wanted to add was that General Gage, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
General Gage, being a good bureaucrat, kept the very accurate records of all of the confiscated guns. They went in with writs of assistance. They didn't need search warrants, and we apparently have those, the equivalent today, quite often. Anyway, one of the entries said P. Revere, two firelocks. And when he rode to Lexington and Concord with three other people, the Reverend somebody or other who headed the militia said, well, we don't feel we should turn in our guns. And that's where it all started.
It really did. The shot that was heard around the world. Thanks so very much, Ted.
You bet.
Bye-bye. And, of course, I think that the last thing we want is an armed reaction to the present time. What we need to do is educate the American people. The average American doesn't even understand we're losing our liberty or why the wicked men in the Supreme Court stole our heritage. Would you agree with that, Joe?
Yes, I would. I get a little stronger than you sometimes. There were some very wicked people who have stolen our freedoms, but I believe it's the fault of the Christian men who let it happen.
All right, I'll
agree. Gone on when the men of God should have stood up and put their foot down and said no, and should have resisted, and we were too busy carrying on our lives and going to soccer games and baseball practice and working in our churches and our VFWs and doing all the things that we normally do in our lives, and we neglected government.
Well, that's really true, and certainly in large part, but there also was a number of things that were happening. Remember, it was in 1962 that the first law, Engle versus Vitale, began to take God out of our schools, and then the following year, prayer. But it was the following year that President Kennedy was assassinated, and by then we were already becoming deeply involved in Vietnam.
Right.
And so it was while we were watching the flag drake draped coffins returned from Vietnam. When young men were supposedly going overseas to fight for our freedom, in reality, we were losing our freedom at home because of the Supreme Court and the influence on the Supreme Court of the wicked men who had taken over the Supreme Court. That is, of course, the part of the story that people never think about.
Well,
and, of course, Vietnam was simply a smokescreen to keep us from realizing what was happening at home.
Right. That and the men that we used to send to war were primarily the men from middle America, from the average family homes. These were the Christians. These were the young Christian men that have died from the Revolutionary War on through World War One, II, Korea, and even Vietnam. Quite often, we really did sacrifice our best and brightest. Maybe not all the Yale and Harvard graduates, but the real men, the Christian men that are the day-to-day leaders of our world, we have sacrificed to the gods of battle most of our best.
Well, of course, if we'd been sending the people from Yale and Harvard to Vietnam, why, we wouldn't have had a war. And that's the tragedy. I mean,
yes,
these were the men who were plotting at the McNamara's, the Eugene Rostow's, the Rhodes Scholars, the Skull and Bones people, the people from the Fabian Socialist Movement. From
yeah,
the
they stayed
point.
Home and watched the Christians
right,
die.
Right, of course. And because if you kill off the patriotic, the ones who love their country and love God and family, why then it's very easy to enslave the rest of them. War is a very useful tool as a distraction from to distract the people from what's going on at home. We're going to have to take a quick break here. I got so involved in our conversation, I forgot that we have to talk a little bit about some of the products we have here up here at Radio Liberty, and certainly one of them is our tape set, The Secret Government. And so if you've never heard our tape set on the secret government, it contains an interview with Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor. And, of course, if you listen to it, you'll hear Professor Quigley talking about the symbol on the back of the dollar bill and how all these crazy right-wingers are trying to tell him it's a symbol of the Illuminati. And he says it's not the symbol of the Illuminati. That symbol has been around for 6,000 years. I can prove it. And the thing is, he's absolutely right. So what is the 6,000-year-old symbol that was subsequently used by the Illuminati and Masonry doing on the back of the American dollar bill? And then he talks about the secret society he had uncovered and, of course, the efforts to suppress his book, A Fascinating Insight into History. It can be only found in our four-tape set, The Secret Government. And, of course, you can get that, or you can get our four-tape set on secret societies. And let me suggest that you seriously consider getting our Secret Government Special, which contains three videos, each one 2 hour and 40 minutes in length, 2 4 tape sets, and you'll have more information than the average college graduate will about the historic forces which have stolen our freedom. The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joe Larson, and Joe works with a group trying to restore a realization that America was founded by Christians as a Christian nation. Didn't mean everybody had to be a Christian. In fact, it was Patrick Henry who said so well. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's for that reason that people of other faiths can come here and live and prosper and worship as they will. And that really is true. It is because we are a Christian nation that people of other faiths can come here. But of course, there is a very conscious effort through propaganda, through immigration, through bringing in people of massive numbers of other faiths to undermine the Christian foundation of this country, because they know that's how they will destroy this nation. Isn't that so, Joe?
I totally agree. They brought in people. We were supposed to be a melting pot, and the idea our founding fathers had were we would let these people come and worship and live, but we would also try to bring the word of God to them, that we would try and evangelize to these people and bring them into our faith. And this was very well understood. What your listeners have to understand, when our founding fathers used the term religion, they were referring to what sect of Christianity a person was. Other religions, they use the word pagan. Whether you were Buddhist, Muhammad, whatever other faith you were other than Jewish, you were a pagan. So when they used the word religion, it implied only to Christianity and to a very few percentage of our country that was of the Jewish faith that still believed in God. And even then, they wanted to still convert whatever Jewish people there were to Christianity.
But
and they made no bones about it in their writings.
But they, of course, didn't have to convert. That was their decision. Nobody was going to be forced to convert, because if you force somebody to convert, they're not going to believe in their heart. It's
no.
Sort of like today, if you are a Muslim and you even dare to criticize the prophet, I mean, you are condemned, and they will kill you. They'll put out basically a contract on your life, and they do that on Muslims living in America today who dare to question the Muslim faith. We can't do that. That's not our purpose.
All we
have
can do
the truth.
Is bring the word to them. If they accept it, wonderful. If they don't, it's their choice.
Absolutely. Unlike so many other religions in the world today. Well, now, of course, Joe, as you go around talking to churches and groups, do you think that there is an increased realization of the importance of Christianity and how that links to our freedom?
I'm starting to see America wake up. Many years ago, I was very worried because I didn't see people responding. I didn't see people waking up. I'm beginning to hear the pulpits of America get back some of the fire that they'd had back in 1776. And start taking on the leadership. I think for too many years our pulpits have been afraid, have been meek, and afraid to stand up and speak the truth. And I think since we've had such an attack on our Christian faith here in the past 10 years especially, that some of the churches are starting to realize if they don't teach the truth today, they may not be able to tomorrow. So I'm seeing some people starting to have some of that courage and that faith of our founding fathers, standing up for this nation, and I'm becoming very encouraged.
Well, I wish you could get out here and instill some of that in some of our ministers here on the West Coast. You know,
we're starting in the heartland of America in the Bible Belt.
Well, that's where we really need to start and then move from there. But the great tragedy is there's so many ministers who say, my only job is just to preach the gospel. Well, you know, when America was founded, it was really the ministers who believed that, you know, resistance to tyranny is allegiance to God. They believed that it was their obligation to teach people that God had given them the ability to be free, not only from a theological point of view, but from a political point of view. And it was many of the ministers of America who were behind the American Revolution because they believed that God made us to be free.
Well, they were called, the British feared some of our pastors so much they called them men of the black raiment. And some of the best leaders that we had in war were our priests, from our pastors, from our small towns. In fact, even when they were putting out the Federalist Papers, as the Constitution was being ratified and explained to the people, there's a good series of books out. It's called Sermons of the Founding Era. It's like a 1,000-page book, no pictures, tiny print, but it shows some of the sermons. These pastors would read the new Federalist when it would come out, or one of the Anti-Federalist Papers that would come out, and it would be the topic of the sermon on Sunday. And actually, in some sense, the pulpits of America is how the Constitution was ratified across America. So you can't separate politics from religion in that sense, because it was the churches of America that helped to ratify the Constitution itself.
And I think that's really not known at all.
No, they don't publicize that whatsoever.
Nor do they publicize that it was the churches of Hitler's Germany that turned Germany over to the Nazis, and the good Christian people there, both Catholic and Protestant, were actually betrayed by their leaders. Actually, less so for the Catholic than the Protestant, if you remember that Reverend Niemöller's remarks about, you know, first they came for the communists, and I wasn't a communist, so I wasn't concerned. And then they came for the Jew, and then they came for the Workers' Party, but then they came for the Catholics, and I was a Protestant, so I wasn't concerned. They came for the Catholics long before for the Protestants, because at least some of them, because of their leadership, was telling them to be involved. They were involved, and they were speaking out. But so many of the Protestants did not have the courage to speak out, because they were all getting a stipend from the government.
That's right. Hitler had called all the leaders, primarily as the Lutheran Church, together to scare them, to chastise them, and got them in a large room and talked them down. And there was one young pastor, a story goes, that had the nerve to come from the back, come up and stand in front of Hitler. And he challenged him. He said, "This is all fine, but what about the heart and soul of Germany?" And the elders of the church just kind of gasped, and they grabbed this brash young pastor, and they drug him to the back of the church, and they told him to be quiet. Well, the story goes that Hitler sat there and smiled, because he knew right then he had won. He had cowered the church, the last remaining obstacle. And he turned around and he said, "You go back home. You take care of your flocks. You attend to your churches. You keep your little tax-exempt status and your nice cushy jobs." And he said, "But as for the heart and soul of Germany, you leave that to me."
And that, of course,
and they did.
That wonderful story is told in the book, Hitler's Cross, which we carry, which I think every Christian in America should read. It's written by Erwin Lutzer, who's the senior pastor at the Moody Church in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And Hitler's Cross is a wake-up call, should be a wake-up call to every Christian and Christian leader in America. But if the Christian leaders are afraid to take a stand because they don't want to endanger their tax-exempt status, if they're more concerned and they're more fearful of government than they are of God, then the Christians are going to have to take a stand.
Then people like you and I have to stand forth, and we have to stand up and lead and find others to join us in our cause. Patrick Henry once made a statement that we will find friends that will help us fight our battle. There are Christians out there. We just have to call them. We have to ask them. We have to awaken them. And if we do and we stand firm in our faith, others will join us.
Amen to that. Well, we're going to have to take another quick break here, and that this is the time when I want to mention to our listeners that we have some very, very important items. If you have never read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you really need to get that, and you can either get it by itself for $12.95, or you can get it as the special along with a video and an audio tape and the book for $29.95. We offer this because we want you to copy the video. We want you to copy the audio tape, and we want you to get as many people as possible to hear it. And then, of course, you have the book that will give you all the sources of documentation for everything that's said in the video and on the audio tape. That's how we're going to have to reach people, because, you see, the media as a whole is controlled. The radio stations across America are being systematically bought up. Almost most of the major television stations are being bought up or have already been bought up. Certainly ABC, CBS, and NBC speak with one voice. All you have to do is just sit down in the evening and go from channel to channel to channel. And what are they talking about? They're talking about exactly the same thing. And because we don't want the American people to realize what's really going on in the world today, so we fill our news broadcasts with a lot of information that really is not that important. And the really important information you are never or only very seldom going to hear on the controlled media. And then, of course, if you go from reading the liberal media like the New York Times and the Washington Post to reading the conservative media like the Reader's Digest and the Wall Street Journal, what you're never going to be told is the really important things, because the people who control both the left and the right media all belong to the Council on Foreign Relations. And if you don't know what it is, according to Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, it was a front organization for the small roundtable group, the front for Cecil Rhodes Secret Society, and for J.P. Morgan, the banker. So if you want to know what's really going on, why, get hold of the Brotherhood of Darkness. Call 1-800-544-8927. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joe Larson. And if you're out across America and you'd like to give us a call and your thoughts on Independence Day, what the 4th of July really stands for, give us a call here at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We'd love to hear from you. Joe, do you have a website or any way that people can get in touch with you and your organization?
Certainly do. It's real simple. It's restoringamerica.org. And we're getting ready to put up a whole new website. We're, in fact, hopefully changing it this afternoon. We are going to have up almost every founding document in America. We're going to have, if you want to go see the UN Charter, it'll be there. If you want to see the Kyoto Treaty, it'll be there. If you want to find the Socialist or the Humanist Manifesto or the Communist Manifesto, it will be there. And if you want to learn more about all of the things we do, it's right there at restoringamerica.org.
I think that's wonderful. You're not going to post the Christian manifesto, are you? That wonderful. No, it's really, it was written by Francis Schaeffer. It's really one of the great documents in which he calls on Christians to be involved in this battle, and he really does. A lot of our ministers today will talk about Francis Schaeffer and his wonderful writings and his wonderful video series of going into the background of How Then Shall We Live, but they'd never want to talk about the Christian Manifesto because it convicts the ministers who refuse to take a stand in this truly spiritual battle which is being fought today.
I'll tell you what, Dr. Stan, I'll talk to you a little bit later after the show. I want to find out, and we'll probably put it up there.
Good. I'd like to see it up there. I think it's an important document. Well, our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY, if you'd like to become part of our program this afternoon. Well, Joe, you know, the trouble is that one day, 4th of July, was the most important day in our year. That was the birthday of our country. It was Independence Day, and it ranked right along with these concepts of freedom. But that really isn't talked about too much anymore, is it?
No, if people would just stop and think, not only have they changed our Independence Day, they've changed all our holidays. All you have to do is look at Christmas, Easter, any holiday that you can think of. They've tried to take God out of it. They've tried to take the real seriousness out of it. And they've tried to put in all kinds of color and sound and visual effects. But they wanted the meaning taken out. The meaning's gone from Christmas to a lot of people. It's just a social holiday. Today, I'm sitting up here at a beautiful place called the Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. People are out. And yet, it's just a big party day. People really are not thinking about what it means. They don't think about the people that died during the Revolution, the people that lost families and wives and children, the suffering of the soldiers in the Revolutionary War. All the things that make America great are probably not on the minds of many people. And something you said earlier brought an old saying to mind that I had to tell people. There's a man named Dresden James who had a saying, and he said, "A truth's initial commotion is directly proportional to how deeply the lie was believed. When a well-packaged web of lies has been told or sold gradually to the masses over generations, the truth will seem utterly preposterous and the speaker of the truth a raving lunatic." And I know some people out there that have heard you or have heard me speak, sometimes I've been called just about a raving lunatic because we tell the truth, and it is the hardest thing to do, to stand there and speak the truth, especially if you're in front of an unfriendly liberal crowd.
Well, we have to speak the truth. We've got a couple of people calling. We've got Patty calling from Delaware, Ohio. Hi, Patty. How are you doing? Patty, are you there? Patty?
Yes. I certainly am enjoying your program today, and I've listened to it many other times. It comes on after Chuck Harder goes off in this area. And I appreciate what you're doing, and I was wondering, I wanted to share something that might be of help to your guest.
Right.
And it's this. Is your guest aware of what David Barton is doing through Wall Builders?
Certainly am. I've met David, and then there's several other people out there, like James Kennedy from Coral Ridge Ministries is working on this. And
right.
There are quite a few of us that are trying to teach the truth about the Constitution Founding Fathers.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing it also, because I wasn't aware that there were any other people other than D. James Kennedy and David Barton.
Stan Munteith and Joe Larson. There's a few of us out there, but it's a small list.
Stan Munteith is doing a wonderful job. I've been listening to him ever since I discovered his program about a year ago.
And this is the first time you've ever called us, isn't it?
Yes, it is, but I just look forward to listening to you. You have a wonderful speaking voice, and you always have lots of things that are the truth, you see, to tell, and I'm only interested in finding as much of the truth as I can find.
Well, you just tell others about our program, please, and tell them about our website, where if they don't have shortwave, they can hear us at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. You have a wonderful Independence Day, Patty.
Well, thank you, and the same to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Chris, who's calling here from Kentucky. Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. I just want to welcome that caller from Ohio. And also I want to give a compliment on the show that I think the truth of the Constitution, you know, a lot of people don't know what the Constitution really stands for on this Independence Day.
They sure don't. And, of course, the Declaration of Independence really was the basis upon which the Constitution was written. So this is the birthday of America. It always has been.
It really has. And today I reenacted at Fort Knox here in Kentucky today, and really told some people about Radio Liberty. If you really want to know the truth, not just because we had a battle here, but there's a lot more to it. And I told a lot of people about Radio Liberty today.
Hey, well, thank you so much. Did you have any question or comment for Joe?
Yeah, I just wanted to give a good comment on this, because I asked people, well, do you know what the 4th of July actually stands for, and what Independence Day really is, and what the Revolution has died for our freedom? And they kind of shake their heads and not really have any knowledge on this.
Oh, ask them sometime to tell you what a republic is. And you'll be shocked, because we are a republic. We are not a democracy. Ask your friends and neighbors. And if you're like me, I've gone to speeches where I've talked to college professors and educated people, and I was amazed at how few people can tell me what a republic is.
You know, if you have a chance, if you have access to a website, pick up my November or December letters from last year that cover democracies and republics. And if you don't have a computer, you can always, you know, just give us a call, and we'll be glad to send you those letters. But it really will give you the quotations so that you can defend this concept that we're a republic and that democracies always end up in tyranny.
And we libertarians are very serious about the Constitution.
All right, fine, but I hope you're coming from a Christian libertarian point of view.
I am, and some libertarians need to get saved, I will say that.
Okay, fine. God
bless. We have a lot of work to do, don't we?
Yes.
Thanks,
Evan.
Go ahead.
That's fine that the libertarians believe a lot of freedom and prosperity, but I'm a Christian, and I'm pro-life, and some of them disagree with that, and I will work on that with some
of them. Well, the thing is, if you are a libertarian and you approach this point of view that you can do whatever you want to, but there are no moral restraints, there's no right and wrong, you're just free to do whatever you want to. That's exactly what the serpent told Eve, the second oldest religion in the world. Basically, libertarianism has to have a moral fabric to it, or it ends up in moral anarchy.
That I do agree with.
And God bless you, and thanks so much, Chris.
Okay, God bless you.
Bye-bye. And we've got Tom calling in from Michigan. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how are you doing, Dr. Stan?
Doing real good to hear from you.
Yes, the reason I called in this day is a very special day to me. Have you ever heard of Thomas Lynch, Jr. from South Carolina?
No, I haven't. Have you ever, Joe?
No, I'm thinking hard, but nothing comes to mind.
Tell us about him.
He's one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
Okay, he's my great uncle.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. And of course, every one of those people who signed the Declaration of Independence risked their life and their fortune, but they pledged their sacred honor.
Yep, and you know, back then they had people that had honor kept their word. Now there's no honor, not even in church. A lot of the churches that's out there, because you know, they're you know, going with the party line, you know, whatever the government says you got to do, they do.
Well, of course, you know, there are some ministers who stand for righteousness irrespective of what the government's doing. We just need to have every minister stand for God and righteousness rather than say, well, we can't get involved in that because we're going to lose our tax-exempt status.
Well, you know, he was taken out in the ocean, and he was hung.
Your uncle? Great,
yes.
great uncle?
Yes.
Well,
sir,
I'll tell you what.
Do you have access to a computer?
No, I don't.
If you could, even through the library or find a friend, I would like you to, if you could, put some of that information and send it to Restoring America. If you can go to our website, there's my address and everything's there. Maybe you could even just mail me.
Okay.
Some of that information, I'd like to put it on the website.
Yeah, and another great uncle was John Jay, the first Supreme Court Justice.
That's one person I'm aware of,
sure.
Yes.
Okay, well, look, thank you so much for calling, Tom, and please tell others about our program. If we get enough people listening, we can take America back.
Oh, God bless you.
And God bless you, too. Well, you know, it's amazing. We see so many people calling in today. I sort of thought that maybe it would be just you and me, Joe, that everybody else would be at a party. But, you know, there are an awful lot of good people we have listening to Radio Liberty on a regular basis. And, of course, we've got Roger calling in. I bet that's Roger from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger.
Hello, folks. And you got to, the way the show's going, you got to clog up a few hours on that little-known, all too little-known, but absolutely seminally important Fisher Ames.
Fisher Ames. Of course, Joe, I bet you know who Fisher Ames
was. Fisher Ames is the man who wrote the wording for the First Amendment, and he's also most famous to me because he wanted the Bible to be the primary textbook in every school in this nation forever.
Yeah, I wonder why the Supreme Court justices who used the First Amendment to take God and prayer out of our schools never quoted Fisher Ames. I wonder why that was.
I was surprised. I was on with Marlon Maddox a few weeks back, and didn't you know who Fisher Ames was? That surprised me.
Well, I hope you got him educated. Marlon's a personal friend, and he's a wonderful man. He loves the Lord. But, you know, unless you really study this sort of thing, unless you listen to programs like this, you're not going to learn. But I'll tell you, if you told Marlon, he'll never forget it.
And here's the exact quote. I just looked it up on my reference material. Fisher Ames, quote, exactly, "The Bible always to remain the principal textbook in America's classrooms," end of quote.
Yeah, and
I'll tell you, those judges, that when they looked at that First Amendment, and if they looked at any of the writings of any of these people, James Wilson was one of the men that formed a basis for our jurisprudence system, as came out and said that far from being rivals or enemies, religion and law are twin sisters, friends, and mutual assistants. They went together. For the first time in the world, government and religion were put together in this country. And those justices or some of those people have not sat down and read the material that's available, or either that or they've listened to somebody and didn't bother to check the original intent for themselves.
Well, I'll tell you what, anybody who reads my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will understand
why
the Supreme Court justices took God out of schools. Hey, Roger, we're out of time, unless you want to stay on or call back after we take our break.
Could you carry me over?
Sure we can.
Thanks.
Okay, fine. Well, this is the time when I have to remind every one of you out there in the listening audience that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon you for what we do. We can't do it alone. We're on almost 40 outlets across America now every week. Some programs were just on, half an hour. Some of them were on 2 hours a day. Some of them were on 1 hour a day, fair number on 1 hour a day. But we're reaching people. But I'll tell you, it's very, very expensive. And every month when those bills roll around and my wife has to pay them, and of course we're dependent upon the people who join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or those who contribute or donate to our ministry because they believe America's worthwhile sacrificing for, America's worth trying to save. Now, of course, our message is a very simple one. We believe that there's a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, an ideological, cultural battlefield. We believe they took God out of our schools and prayer out of our schools because evil men had taken control of the Supreme Court, and they were appointed to the Supreme Court by other evil men. And we believe there are secret societies. There have always been secret societies, and we document that on our programs, and Of course, if you listen to our programs, you'll get the sources of information, and we'll give you the books written by the people on the other side who tell you exactly what they're doing. But you need to help us, first of all, to stay on the air, to expand our ministry, and then you need to help contact other people. And you're welcome to copy our tapes and copy our newsletters and copy any video that I've produced and get that information out. And, of course, we encourage you to call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. For a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. You may only be able to afford the monthly newsletter, but all of that helps because we send our newsletter to the opinion makers across America. And when I read something written by some key opinion maker and it came from our material, I know we're having an influence. And whatever I do, you are part of when you join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. So again, remember the number to call. It's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war. America is under siege today. Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago. And it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joe Larson, and he's back from the St. Louis, Missouri area, and he's a patriot. He's trying to wake people up. If you're out there in the listening audience and would like to give us a call, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And we've got Alan hanging on the line from Roger, hanging on the line from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Going to say Alan from Rogertown, but Roger from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Did you have something else you wanted to say, Roger?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, just one comment besides that. I can think of nothing that would drive the atheistic humanists into a state of more delightful apoplexy than just a few paragraphs on the influence of Fisher Ames upon a large part of our nation's founding.
Well, we'll keep hammering away at that, don't you worry, because Fisher Ames was a very important part of our way of life. He was the man who wrote the final wording of the First Amendment, and he believed that prayer and Bible study should be an important part of our educational system. Contrary to Justice Hugo Black and Justice William O. Douglas and Earl Warren and Tom Clark, all of whom belonged to a secret society. And if you want to know the background of that, they were four of the Supreme Court justices who voted to take prayer out of our schools. And they were fulfilling the plans of the secret society they were members of. And we document that in our book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Roger.
Lastly, to closely paraphrase Rush Dooney's comments on this, the libertarians have made often brilliant contributions in economics in particular, while being too often oblivious to larger moral issues. And though in their journals they have given more weight to the spiritual bearing on things in the last 15 years, I do believe.
I really think they have, too, and I think there are a lot of wonderful libertarians out there, and we just want to lead them to a realization that freedom without responsibility and a moral foundation does lead to chaos. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Bye-bye, and you too. Well, Joe, we're drawing towards the end of the program, and so why don't you share some of your thoughts, the things you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Thank you very much. I want people to remember that there was a gentleman named Charles Montesquieu, a professor. He was actually called Baron. He was a French professor, author, philosopher, wrote a book, The Spirit of the Laws, which, second only to the Holy Bible, was the most quoted source of our founding fathers. And in there, he gave them the idea of the separation of powers from the Holy Bible, from Isaiah 33:22. God is king, God is judge, God is our lawgiver. Our founding fathers were able to form the executive, the legislative, judicial branch of government. And to continue from Jeremiah 17:9, the founders understood that men tend to be corrupt, and that we had to separate powers to pit evil men against each other, or we're all potentially evil, that power had to be pitted against, so that no group of men or evil men could get too much power. So when you look at America, people have to remember that even the very formation of our government came from the Bible. All our laws came from God's natural law, which came right from the Bible, based on the Ten Commandments, which, if everybody remembers, were cast in stone all through. And then if we look at our Bibles, we see something. We go back to Hosea. I'd like to remind people of this quote. Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye children of, and I want to put America in there, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And we see that today with what's happening with our children killing each other, with the 1.4 to 5 million aborted babies, with the gang shootings, the drug usage, all the evils we're having, because we have lost this knowledge of God, and that knowledge of God is the basis of our republic and our way of life. We turn to the book Daniel, and in Daniel 11, chapter 32, it tells us what we should do. But the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. And I'm calling for the Christian men of this country. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to be a Goliath. You don't have to be a centurion. All you have to be is a simple Christian soldier to stand and tell the truth, witness, and help restore this nation back to what it was, to the glory that it can be, if we are truly a nation under God and we follow our Lord and Master. We can create a wonderful place. And if we don't listen to our Lord, if we don't follow his ways, we are headed for the greatest peril we've ever faced.
And we
have no defense.
And I think what basically our founding fathers realized, that you could never trust government. People say, oh, Timothy McVeigh, he was anti-government. Well, our founding fathers were anti-government. They did not trust government. And I was just reading something here that Thomas Jefferson had written, talking about confidence. It is jealousy and not confidence which prescribe limited constitutions to bind down those whom we are obliged to trust with power. That our Constitution has accordingly fixed the limits to which, and no further, our confidence may go. Let the honest advocates of confidence read the Alien and Sedition Acts and say, if the Constitution has not been wise in fixing the limits to the government it created, and whether we should be wise in destroying those limits in questions of power, let no more be heard of confidence in man, but bind him down for mischief by the chains of the Constitution. And that
the
is
chains.
The
I chains. Want to reiterate that word. He called it the chains of the Constitution. They were that strong.
And, of course, the whole idea was there were only a very few things that the federal government could do. And most of what our leaders are doing today is frankly unconstitutional. They are violating the oath that they have sworn to uphold the Constitution, and we should hold them and call them to task.
Right. Even the Supreme Court of the United States, I don't remember the year right now, I'm off the top of my head, but the Supreme Court of the United States said, it is not the duty of government to keep man in his place, but it is the duty of men to keep government in its place. It's our job to control the governments, not the government's job to control the country. We were the sovereign people. When our founding fathers created this nation, they threw away the king, they threw out Caesar. The people are sovereign, and we must remember we have no Caesar to render to. We do not have to give the government everything at once. We don't have to bow down and worship government. We don't even have to obey it, because we, the people, are sovereign. It is our government by which they get their authority from us, and when they overstep their bounds, it is up to we, the people, to take that power back from government. It's really simple. It just requires some courage and people standing up and saying no.
Well, you know, that's what's really so important about the Declaration of Independence and why it should be read every 4th of July. And I think on our evening programs, we'll actually read that. And after saying that God or the Creator gave us the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the Declaration goes on to say that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed.
From the people.
That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to those ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Now, that was what our founding fathers said, and that was the basis upon which the Constitution was written. Isn't it amazing that we never read those words anymore? In fact, everything is done to downplay the importance of the Declaration of Independence and then to deprecate Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the words.
Of course, the government never wants the people to know that our founding fathers foresaw the possibility of our having to take up guns and take our government back.
Well, right
now, the founding fathers saw the weakness in men and realized that someday that this would happen, and they bring provisions for us to stand up and change our government or to take it back.
Well, I think that the important thing is we must re-educate the American people, because if a small group of patriots were to take up guns today, why, they would be vilified and demonized and marginalized, and they would be handled exactly as anybody who opposes
we
government.
We have to take up the pen.
The pen, we've got to educate the American people.
Right.
And when we reach a critical mass, the people on the other side will flee like a vampire at the first rays of dawn.
Remember Jesus, something that Jesus said, I think it was back in Matthew 24, I don't remember the verse, but he said, take heed that no man deceiveth you. We have been listening to too many politicians, pontificators, and people who have an agenda. They're trying to make money off of their evil. By speaking evil, by teaching evil, they are getting rich. We have to start listening to the people who talk from a Christian point of view, who are not out there for richness or fame, but are trying to spread the word of the Lord. Those are the people we need to start listening to.
Amen to that. Well, look, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. Joe, again, how can people get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me several different ways, but if they go to restoringamerica.org, my email address, everything is on the screen, and there's a lot of good information there, a lot of quotes of our founding fathers, original documents, stories on what's happening in the schoolrooms of America, current events, right to life sections. We have a little bit of everything up there, and I just would ask all your viewers to go there, take a look. Everything we have on the web, feel free to download and copy. We copyright nothing. We want, like Dr. Stan, we want to educate America. So use anything we have. Give it to everyone that will read it. And just remember, this is the information age, and yet in our young people, 45 to 50% of young Americans today are functionally illiterate.
And now, if somebody doesn't have access to the net, how can they reach you?
They can reach me by calling 573-793-3156.
That's 573-793-3156. God bless you, Joe. Thanks so much for spending your evening of the 4th of July with us here at Radio
Liberty. Thank you. It was an honor to be on your show, Stan.
Bye-bye. God
Bye.
Bless you. Okay, well, that was Joe Larson, and this is Dr. Stan asking you to pray for America, pray for our leaders, pray for our ministers, and, of course, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Have a wonderful Independence Day, and remember what this is really all about. This is the birthday of the United States of America. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.